Parshas Noach. This forum tells us that each time that we read a parsha in the Torah, everything within that parsha is revived. This parsha of Noach, which tells the story of the flood, what led up to the Mabul, and then what happened after the Mabul, how Noach and his family were saved and began to rebuild the world, the zchus of reading these words and remembering and wanting to do our part in affecting the tikkun for the world now, we know that Rabbi Nachman once made a statement that just as there was a flood during the time of Noach, Rabbi Nachman said that in the future there's going to be a mabul of apikursus. There's going to be a flood of lack of faith in Hashem. Eile told us Noach, Noach ish tzaddik. Noach is given this title of tzaddik, and the Torah tells us that the world during his time had reached such a low point that Hashem decided to go ahead and destroy everything. And in order for Noach to save himself and his family, he was told to build a teva. This word teva, which means an ark, a protective ark, the word teva in Hebrew also means word, speech. Rabbi Nachman and his main student, Rav Nosson Zal, elaborate on this, that whenever a person finds themselves in a bad place, a person has fallen into sins, strayed far from the right path, the most effective way of helping oneself and correcting things is through words, speech. The Gemara in Yuma, when it speaks about tshuva, repentance, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, "Kchu imochem dvorim v'shuvu el Hashem." Bring with you words and return to Hashem. And the Gemara says, Hashem says to the Jews, "Ein ani mevakesh mikem elo dvorim." I only ask of you, speak to me, speak words, words of kedusha, words of tefillah, words of Torah, that these words have the ability to save a person and to protect a person from all types of spiritual harm and physical harm. And this is the symbolism in what Noach was told, Noach and his family, go into the teva, go into the words, like a concept of a person dipping oneself in a mikveh. A mikveh is a body of water that's holy and pure, a spiritual body of water, where a person goes inside of it and encircles themselves completely with holiness and purity. Here also, we know that there are different levels of creation. Hashem created doimim, inanimate objects, tzoymeach, the plants, chai, the animals, and medaber. The human beings are classified as medaber. That is our title. That's what distinguishes us from all other levels of creation, this issue of dibur. The Torah tells us, hachaim v'hamoves biyad haloshen. Life and death are in the tongue. The tongue, the mouth of a person, is the most powerful and most effective item, both for good and lahavdil for bad, chas v'shalom. And in this case, we're being shown that even at the worst of times, where things have gotten so bad, so dark, that Hashem had to make a decision to go ahead and destroy everything, even then, the words have the ability to help. Interesting to note that there is a pasuk that tells us, Migdal oiz shem Hashem boi yorutz tzadik v'nizgov, that the name of Hashem is a fortress of strength, a tower of strength, into which a tzadik, a righteous person, v'nizgov, and one who is exalted, will be able to run, to escape. The Sforim tell us that the Teva of Noach, the Ark of Noach, was designed in such a way based on the format of Hashem's name. We know that Hashem does not have any physical form. There's nothing we can physically see. The only way we can describe Hashem and relate to Hashem is through the names of Hashem. And in fact, Rabbi Nachman tells us in Likut Imran that this itself is a fantastic kindness on the part of Hashem, that Hashem allows himself to be put into words, to be described by words, by letters, so that we have the ability to communicate, to discuss Hashem, to speak of Hashem. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any way to do that. So now, getting back to this pasuk, we're told that the fortress, this tower of strength, is the name of Hashem. The ark, the Teva of Noach, was 300 amos long, shloish meos amo orkoi, vachamishim amo rochboi, 50 amos wide, ushloishim amo koimosoi, and 30 amos tall. The Meforshim tell us that if we take Hashem's most basic name, Yud Kei Vov Kei, the Yud, which is 10, times He, times 5, is 50. This gives us the width of the Teva. Continuing, taking this 50, the Yud Kei, and multiplying it by the Vov, the next letter, the 6, gives us 300, which is the length of the Teva. And then, for the height, we take the last two letters. Vov Kei, 6 times 5, is 30, which gives us the height of the Teva. This is just a fraction of what the Sforim write to show us the spiritual depth behind how this ark that was built by Noach had many Kabbalistic secrets in it. But on the most basic level, it symbolized the word of Hashem. Teva means an ark, we said, and Teva means word. Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem, emphasizing to us that each and every single one of us who finds ourselves surrounded by all types of impurities and challenged by all types of yetzaharas, evil inclinations, and tests, feeling flooded by problems, physical problems, spiritual problems, the most effective escape for the person is this teva of the Shem Hashem. That when a person speaks words of holiness, when a person speaks words of tefillah, words of prayer, a person pours out their heart to Hashem, expressing their gratitude to Hashem for the good things that they recognize in their life, confessing to Hashem, apologizing for the mistakes that they've made, and begging Hashem for guidance and help spiritually and physically in everything in the person's life, these words of tefillah combined with words of Torah. A person studies the Torah of Hashem, which is the book in which Hashem expresses His will, His ratzon, what He wants of us, what He expects of us. This combination is what gives each and every single person in their generation, in their neighborhood, in their home, in their environment, this teva, this protective coating to be shielded from any type of harm and catastrophe, from any type of opposition, chas v'shalom. Rav Nosson Zal, Rabbi Nachman's main student, tells us in the Kutei Halachos, this is also why we find that when the flood ended, Noach chose birds to send out to make it clear to him whether everything was okay, whether the flood had completely ended, whether the earth was safe to go out on. First he sent a raven, then he sent a dove. We know that the Gemara tells us that birds represent speech. The Gemara says that a leper, a person who contracts leprosy, tzoras, is called a metzora. And the Gemara says the reason why a person is struck with this type of severe illness, which is compared to death, the word metzora is a combination of two words, moitzi ra, because the person has spoken evil. A person who speaks loshon hara, they speak negatively about another Jew. Even if their words are the truth, even if they're telling the truth, but with their speech, they're harming another person, another Jew. The penalty for this is metzora. Metzora means leprosy, which is one of the most severe types of illness that the Torah describes. The tikkun for a metzora, the correction for a metzora, is that he brings a sacrifice to the Holy Temple, to the Beis HaMikdash. He brings shtei tziporim chayos tahoros. He brings two birds. And the Gemara says the reason for this is yovoi patatya, v'yichaper al patatya. Let one chatterbox come and atone for another chatterbox. Meaning that this person spoke improperly. They spoke when they shouldn't have. They said what they shouldn't have. Their tikkun is to bring these birds. Birds are known for their chirping and chattering. They speak a lot to remind the person as to what their mistake was, what they need to correct. And therefore, this was the symbolism in Noach teaching us, Noach the Tzaddik teaching us, that a person who sees the flood, the most important lesson to be learned for it is this Tikkun Hadibur, for the person to see to it that just as Hashem created the world with speech, the Torah tells us, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, Uberuach Piv Kol Tzavaam, that Hashem created the heavens and everything else with Dvar Hashem, with Dibur, with words, and Hashem maintains the world. When the Torah tells us Uvetuvoy Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tomid Maase Bereishis, that Hashem renews the creation every single day, Hashem renews it with the same item, with words, with Dibur. So too, we who are Hashem's partners, in last week's Parsha, in Parshas Bereishis, we were told at the end of creation, Asher Bora Elokim La'asos, that Hashem created the world in such a way that it's incomplete. Hashem didn't create a world in which bread grows in the fields or clothing grows. Hashem created the world in such a way that man has to share in helping Hashem to complete the creation. Man has to plant and harvest and take the wheat and process it through one process after another until they're able to produce a final product of bread, or to take cotton and put it through all kinds of processes before they're able to complete a garment, so that we are actually considered to be Hashem's partners in creation. And our main contribution to this partnership is our words. Just as Hashem created with words, our creation, our contribution to creation or to destruction is especially dependent on our words. If we're speaking words of Kedusha, words of holiness, then our words represent this Shem Hashem, this name of Hashem, this holiness, which serves as a tower of strength into which a person can go to be protected and shielded from all types of negativity, all types of impurity. And if Chas V'Shalom, the opposite, if our words are not words of Kedusha, if a person speaks in a sinful way, there's no greater harm and destruction that a person can bring onto themselves and onto others like a person can with Dibur, with words. The Torah tells us, Vayar Elokim es ha'oretz v'hinei nishchoso, Hashem saw that the world had fallen to a very low state, ki hishchis kol bosor es darkoi al horetz, that all flesh had destroyed, had fallen to a very low base level, al horetz. Again, twice is repeated these words, es horetz, al horetz. And the Gemara tells us that the impurity that was taking place at the time between men and women, in the relationships between them, was so bad that it actually spread to the animals. The animals, the behemoths and the chayos, picked up on this, and they also began conducting themselves in an absurd way, that the animals were not true to their mates anymore. However, this took place only on land. We're told that the fish, when the pasuk speaks about the destruction that the mabul caused, that the flood destroyed everything, it says, Mikoil asher becharova mesu. Everything that was on dry land died. And the Gemara says, V'loy dogim shebiyam, but not the fish. The fish were protected. Additionally, when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, from the Tree of Wisdom, and when Hashem issued the curse subsequently, the curse was, Aruro ho'adomo bavurecha. The earth will be cursed because of you. That man will have to struggle to bring forth, to earn a living, to earn a livelihood. Man will have to work the earth and plow it and plant and harvest. The struggle that a person undergoes to earn a living, this struggle is the struggle on land. Whereas, when we speak about the water, water in Torah, in Yiddishkeit, represents holiness, purity, kindness, and das. Das means sechel. We know that when the Torah speaks about the future, when Mashiach will come, and man will be filled with a pure knowledge, an understanding of Hashem, and a proper type of sechel, the pasuk says, Kimolo ha'oretz deo es Hashem, kamayim layam echasim. The world will be filled with understanding of Hashem, like water that covers the floor of the ocean. So we see that water represents shlemus hadas. Water represents purity. We know that when a Jew becomes tamei, impure, most types of impurity are resolved by the person going to a mikveh. A mikveh is a body of water, certain type of water, certain measurement of water, where the person immerses themselves completely in this and thereby removes from themselves the impurity. The world, in its original state, before there was any sin, before any bad came to the world was wall-to-wall water. Originally, Hashem created the world, filled it with water, and Only afterwards Hashem separated the upper waters from the lower waters, and within that the land was created, and on land is where the problems began. And this is one of the things where when a woman or a man immerses in a mikveh, and the person submerges themselves completely in the water, one of the intentions that the person is supposed to have is that they're connecting to the world in its original pure state before any sin was committed, which was this concept of wall-to-wall water, which represents the highest state of purity. Just as during the time of Noach, we're told that the sins of man spilled over to affect the animals because of the fact that man is the leader of the world. Hashem designated man as the king of everything within creation. The Gemara says this is one of the reasons why man was created after everything else on the sixth day of creation. Everything else was created before him, so that Hashem wanted to show Adam and Chava that, look, everything else has been prepared to serve you for your benefit. If you lead a proper life, a good life, everything in the world will be elevated with you. To the degree, chas v'sholem, that you'll do the wrong things, you have the ability to mess up, to defile, not just yourselves, but everything else in creation. We're told, in fact, that when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, when they went against the command of Hashem, Hashem said they were permitted to eat from all the trees, except one, except this Eitz Hadas. When they went ahead and ate, the Medrash tells us that subsequently, the behemois and chayois, animals also, ate from that Eitz Hadas, and were also affected in a negative way through that. And it's for this reason that we find that when Noach came out of the Teva, when the flood was over, and he left the ark, we find Noach selecting among the animals and taking from the kosher animals, the behemoth tohira, and bringing sacrifices to Hashem. Immediately, Noach began to differentiate and distinguish between purity and impurity. This concept of choosing only the kosher animals, the pure animals, from which to bring these sacrifices to Hashem, this already represented the world taking a step in the right direction, moving away from tuma, impurity, towards tahara, towards purity. And tied into this, we know that Yosef HaTzadik, who represents purity, the term tzadik itself, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, represents Shmira Sabris, one who is able to show a purity, especially in relations between men and women, just as Yosef HaTzadik proved himself when he had the test with the wife of Potiphar, when he was left in the house of his master in Egypt, and she expressed a tremendous desire for him, and Yosef HaTzadik did what was necessary to avoid committing any sin with her. That was when he earned especially this title of tzaddik. We find that Yosef HaTzadik is therefore compared to, he and his descendants are compared to the fish. The pasuk says, V'yidgu loroiv bekerev oretz. When Yaakov Avinu gave Yosef and his family the bracha, they were blessed that they should multiply like fish. Again, because the fish represent this purity, those who were not affected by the sins on land, the sins of the mabul, the impurity, the hishchis kolbosar, the pigama bris that was taking place on land. And it's for this reason, interestingly, that Rav Nosson Zal, Rabbi Nachman's main student, writes in Likutei Halachos that it's a custom of Jews on Shabbos, on Yontif, to make sure to eat fish just about at every meal, because of the fact that fish represent this purity, just as Shabbos and Yontif represent Olam Haba, the world to come, so too fish symbolize Olam Haba. Fish exist in water, in the Yam, which we said before is the symbol of Olam Haba. When the Pasuk says, Kimolo ha'oretz deos Hashem, kamayim layam achasim, the time when the world will be filled with understanding of Hashem. The concept on Shabbos or Yontif of eating fish is another way of connecting to this world of the future, this world of complete purity, of this water, this Meimei Hadas, these Meimei HaChesed. At this point, I'd like to read a paragraph from Likutei Halachos, which is the main book of Rav Nosson Zal, the student of Rabbi Nachman, a paragraph that's related to this week's Parsha, Parshas Noach, and will give us a certain clarity. This paragraph appears in the third volume of Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Zayin, in the middle of paragraph 69, Samach Tes, and continues to paragraph 70. Rav Nosson Zal tells us that in the Zohar Chodosh, in Parshas Noach, Noach didn't really pray enough for the people of his generation prior to the flood. And after he came out of the ark and he saw the world had been destroyed, he began to cry and say to Hashem, look what you did. This is what you want? And Hashem's response to him at that time was, Raya Shatya, foolish shepherd. Now you're coming and telling me this? Where were you before the flood? Why didn't you cry to me? Why didn't you pray on behalf of the people? And not just save yourself, but you as the Tzadik Hador, you were in a position to be able to protect and save the entire generation if you would have really tried. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that when Noach heard these words from Hashem, it was then that he brought sacrifices. These sacrifices, a korban oila, is an atonement, a type of atonement. He brought this to beg forgiveness from Hashem for the fact that he hadn't fulfilled his responsibility as tzaddik in protecting the entire generation. And the Zohar HaKadosh goes on to contrast Noach with Moshe Rabbeinu. On the other hand, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Jews had fallen into a sin of idol worship, and Hashem said, step aside, let me destroy the entire Jewish people, and I'll rebuild a new nation from you, Moshe Rabbeinu put his life on the line. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you want to kill, I'm first. I'm the first one to be killed. And he pleaded and negotiated and argued with Hashem until he got Hashem to say, Solachti kidvorecha, I forgive the Jewish people completely. And the Zohar HaKadosh explains that one of the reasons why Noach didn't pray for his generation was because he didn't even know if he himself would be worthy to be saved. The Zohar HaKadosh continues to elaborate in saying that we see how much Hashem wants a tzaddik to pray on behalf of Bnei Yisrael, no matter what state they're in, no matter how bad they are, no matter what sins they've committed. The Zohar HaKadosh, in fact, gives the example of Eliyahu HaNavi, who was known to be a kanoi. He was very strict, he was harsh, and at one point when he saw the king of the Jewish people, Ahav, misleading the Jews into idol worship, he came to Hashem, and he spoke very negatively about the Jews. And then the Torah tells us that Hashem gave him something, a certain food to eat, and that lasted him for the next 40 days and 40 nights. The Zohar HaKadosh says that that alludes to the fact that Hashem showed Eliyahu HaNavi, you're a leader of the Jewish people. Why don't you take a lesson from the ultimate leader, from Moshe Rabbeinu? When the Jews were bad during his time, what did he do about it? He came up to heaven and he pleaded with me for 40 days and 40 nights. He argued until he was able to get me to forgive the Jews, until he was able to appease my anger. What you're doing is not the work of a Jewish leader. A Jewish leader, I don't need a Jewish leader to come and prosecute the Jews. We have someone already. We have the Satan, the Yetzer Hara. We have a prosecutor who does a wonderful job in prosecuting the Jews. A tzaddik, a true Jewish leader, is one who defends the Jews even in the worst of times. And the Zohar HaKadosh goes on to show that this is the symbolism when Noach sent the raven out of the ark. The Zohar HaKadosh says the raven represents Dovra Melech, who used to scream to Hashem like a raven. And then finally, that was the first bird that Noach sent. And then afterwards, he sent the Yoina, he sent a dove, and the dove at one point left and didn't return. Now we'll read from the point in Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal says, V'chol ha-pegam shel Noach v'tikunoi ha-kol hu be'inyan b'kiyus hanal. The mistake of Noach and the correction of the mistake was all based on not realizing completely the derech of tshuva. How, in order for a person to do real tshuva, it requires a boki bahalocha. The person needs to know how to move in both directions. Person needs to know how to advance, how to move forward, how to come close to Hashem. And a person also needs to know how to fall properly. That when a person is falling, not to give up, not to quit, not to get depressed, but even when a person is falling, even when a person is in a state of yirida, to be able to find good points in themselves, in their situation, in order that they can be able to bring themselves to return to Hashem. Ki Noach hayo tzadik tamim. Noach was a tzadik, a sincere tzadik, aval lo hisig. However, he didn't realize completely she'efsher lotzeis ulohirid atzmoi lehistakel al rishuam kailu, that he had the ability and that it's possible to go and lower himself, to look at, to observe the rishuam, the evil people, rishuam kailu, even those who were as evil as the ones during his time, lasoikimohem, limtsoibohem ezeschus, and to work with them, and to be able to find merit in them, to be able to look for good points in them, ula hispalel aleihem, and to pray for them, ula oiraram be'ezen akuda toiva, and to be able to inspire them to return to Hashem by making them aware that there's still good in them. Shebechol ze osak Moshe v'hatzadikim hagdolim she'achrov b'yegiois atzumois. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu and all the great tzadikim that came after the time of Noach, this is what they were involved in. Kiloi hisig rachmav yisborach ad heichon heimagim. And the reason why Noach didn't do this was because he didn't fully realize how great Hashem's kindness is, how far Hashem's kindness extends. V'yalkein chuchrach lichnois el atevo l'schabi atzmeshom. And it's for this reason that Noach was forced to go into the ark and to hide himself there, lehinotzel, in order to be saved. Ki tevas Noach nivne v'nase b'chochmov u'kidusho gavoye moid. Because Noach's ark was created, was built with great intelligence, with great knowledge and great holiness. Ki hoyo kavonois amukois begoivo v'orko v'rochbo v'chol binyono kemavur batoiro kol protias yoso. There were deep intentions, Kabbalistic intentions, in the exact format of this ark, its height, its width, its length. V'hi meramezes al tshuva sho'isen b'yom ha'kippurim. And the ark symbolizes the tshuva that the Jews do on the holiday of Yom Kippur. K'mo shekosu b'Zohar HaKodesh, as the Zohar HaKodesh says, Tevas Noach do Yom Kippurim, that the ark of Noach represents Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur also, a Jew leaves the street, leaves their home, leaves the physical world by fasting, by abstaining from food, from drink, from associating with women, wearing leather shoes, washing. A person disconnects themselves from the physical world and goes into the shul, into the synagogue, and remains there all day, just about. The synagogue there, the shul, symbolizes this tevas noach, this ark, this protective ark, where a person is shielded from all the ill effects of the streets, of the outside. And the Zohar HaKadosh says this, as we find, the Pasuk says, Vatonach HaTevo B'Chodesh HaShvi, that the ark came to rest on the seventh month. The Zohar HaKadosh says the seventh month of the calendar year from Nisan is Tishrei. This represents the month of Tishrei, the season of Tshuva. V'chein Mavur B'Kama Sforim, She'tevas Noach Hu B'chinas Hadiburim V'hatevois shel tfilois u'bakoshois she'Yisrael mispalom mischananin, as is found in many Sforim, that Noah's Ark, this Tevas Noach, as we mentioned earlier, symbolizes, represents the words of tefillah and bakosha that the Jews speak to Hashem in their tshuva. V'alkein kol knisas Noach el hatevo ze b'chinas ayil. And therefore, the concept of Noach going into this ark was a concept of going up, moving towards Hashem, entering into holiness. Shemachma shloi hayoyochu lahasil es atzmoi im hoilom, because of the fact that Noach couldn't save himself and the rest of the world, ki loy hayoboki b'halocha kanal, because he wasn't knowledgeable enough in knowing how to go down. He knew how to go up. He didn't know how to go down. The most important knowledge that he was lacking was knowing how to deal with yirida, how to deal when things aren't going well, when a person has fallen spiritually. Alkein tzivo Hashem Yisborach sheichnos l'toch ha-teivo. Therefore, Hashem instructed him to go into this holy ark, shehu b'chinas ayil, which is this concept of going into a bubble of holiness, in a sense. V'shom yastir atzmoi im kolbonov v'im kol menei chayas loiv zitzmochim. And there he would hide himself with his family and with representatives of all the different animals and birds and plants, bishvil kiyum hoilam, in order that the world should be able to have an existence afterwards. And therefore, Rav Nosson Zal continues, just as Noah had to wait for a command from Hashem to tell him to go into the ark, so too he needed Hashem to instruct him to leave the ark. As the Pasuk says, Vayidaber Elokim el Noach, Tzei min ha-teiva. Hashem had to tell him to leave the ark. Because through the fact that Noah hid himself in this ark until the wrath of Hashem had ended, had passed, Al yidei zeh richam Hashem yisborach al olamoi, this is what resulted in Hashem taking pity on the world and then finally telling him to go out. And Hashem said, Haitze, take them out even forcefully if you have to. Which teaches us that they didn't necessarily want to leave the ark. Noach and his family didn't necessarily want to leave. And Rav Nosson Zal says, Zeh remez al ma shekosavnu binyan zeh. This alludes to what we've mentioned earlier. Shebevadai mi sheroitze loshuv hoyemarutzo shianichu leishev tomid bebeis hamedrash b'mokim kodosh v'lasek b'toiru tefila. Rav Nosson Zal says, most people, when they decide to repent, when they want to do tshuva, they would prefer to be allowed to just spend their entire days and nights sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, learning and davening, not to have to deal with the outside world at all, not to have to deal with the physical world at all. Aval Hashem Yisborach roitze b'kiyum ha'olam, whereas Hashem wants the world to exist. U'mesavevim hodom shem muchrach kama pomim lotzeis mi Beis HaMedrash la'asoik b'tzorchei haguf u'parnosa. And therefore, Hashem has created man in such a way, created the world in such a way, that the person has to leave the Beis HaMedrash to take care of their bodily needs, to earn a livelihood. Shekol ze bechinas venofik. This is all the concept of yerida, the concept of going out, leaving the center of holiness. Ki yodea shekishayotze lachutz hu besakona gedoyla. Because the person realizes that when they leave the protective walls of the Beis HaMedrash, of the shul, the synagogue, of the house of learning, the person realizes they're in great danger, spiritual danger. Avaloi sagi b'lav hochi. However, there's no other choice. Shezeo b'chinas ma shebnei ha-teva lo yirotzu v'lotzeis min ha-teva, kiyum b'gzeiros Hashem zivor Hashem olam lotzeis. This is why we find that the people who were in the ark didn't necessarily want to leave. Hashem had to tell them to leave, and Hashem had to tell Noach, take them out forcefully, even if you have to. Ki Hashem Yisborach roitze she'odom yavod oisoi bozeh ho'ilom daiko, shu b'chloli b'chinas v'nofik, keneged ho'ilom ois hakdoishim ho'ilom ois alyonim. Because Hashem wants man to serve him in this physical world, which compared to the heavenly worlds, this world, this entire world, is a concept of venofik, a concept of yerida, a concept of going out of the kedusha. And this is why, in order for a person's avodah to be complete, a person has to be able to serve Hashem with both, with ayil venofik. And Rav Nosson Zal adds, this is why the Torah says afterwards that Noach sent out the raven, which represents Dovr HaMelech, who used to scream to Hashem like a raven. And Hashem had also, the Zohar Kodesh quotes the pasuk that by Dovr HaMelech, Hashem sent him out of his palace, out of his city, when he was forced to flee for his life from his son Avshalom, who rebelled and wanted to take over the kingdom. And the pasuk says there, Vayetze Yotzoi Voshoiv, by Dovr HaMelech. And the pasuk also says, "V'David oile b'mala hazesim choylech uvoicher v'roish loy chofui." And the Gemara says that Dovr HaMelech hayoyotze v'shov b'tshuva. That Dovr HaMelech used this opportunity, this going out, to do tshuva, to confess his sins, to repent, umevakesh rachamim aleihem, and to plead with Hashem for forgiveness, ad yevoyshe samayim. And eventually, when the pasuk tells us that Noah sent the dove, he sent the dove three times, the Zohar HaKadosh says, this alludes to the three different exiles that the Jewish people would experience after Mitzrayim, until the three exiles, until the final exile, where the pasuk says, V'lo yosfo shuvei lavoid, that the first three exiles, the Jews repented, and they were returned to Eretz Yisrael. When the dove was sent out the third time, it says, V'lo yosfo shuvei lavoid, the Zohar HaKadosh says this refers to this golus that we're in today, this exile today, where it's taking us so long to repent. Aval afal pikein, however, Rav Nosson Zal finishes, the Zohar HaKadosh concludes there, Hu yisborach mizumon umechake emos haitoshuv. Hashem waits anxiously to see when we're going to return. And as soon as Hashem sees an effort on the part of Klal Yisrael, a sincere effort to do tshuva, to return, to repent, this is when this final golus that we're in today will come to an end, and the Jews will be returned to Eretz Yisrael permanently. We hope and pray that what's taking place today in Klal Yisrael, the thousands and tens of thousands of people, many of them who were raised in homes where they knew nothing about Yiddishkeit, or some who were raised in homes originally where they did know, and for all kinds of different reasons they ended up straying from the path, and now are making efforts to return to Hashem, we hope and pray that these efforts, that the tshuva on the part of Klal Yisrael, is what will arouse the kindness of Hashem, and lead to the Geula, the redemption, with the rebuilding of the third and final Beis HaMikdash in our time. B'mheira b'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.